Hello, guitar playing, tone tweaking podcast listening people. You're listening to the Chasing Tone podcast. Today, Blake Weiland is back, at least for today. Hopefully for another few episodes. But today we talk about my new little fake project that's coming up, temporarily entitled Arrogance Audio. We're talking about what would you do with your golden time alone with your guitar, amp, and pedals. And you also get to listen to my really bad British accent. Let's jump into it. So it's been a minute.
Oh, Mr. Wampler, I've missed your melodious voice. Well, not really, because I still have listened to what you've put out. So I haven't, like, totally missed it. But I've missed I've missed conversating with you in a recording fashion instead of in the Home Depot parking lot like I did last time.
that was fantastic.
Yes. How you been?
Yep. I've been good. How have you been?
Oh, really, really crazy busy, but I'm really, really looking forward to next week, taking some time and visiting the Big Apple. So.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that's when Justin Bieber comes to town and I'm going to go to the concert.
Well, he may very well be coming to town. I forgot to check the dates. Maybe he's going to be in NYC while I'm there. I'm going to have to hit up the Biebs.
You're going to Fear the Riffs or whatever it's called. What's that show called in New York?
Fear the Riffs,
right?
Mm-hmm. I won't shut up about it because I'm like so stoked. I've been telling her like, hey, everybody, you going to go? You going to go? Come on, let's go. Like everyone
I'll
can
have
just...
I'll have representation, but me, myself, won't be there, unfortunately.
Well, I'll eat some extra barbecue for you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm told there's going to be barbecue there, so we'll see.
So that, I guess that's like, this is the first year they've done Fear the Riff. It's like this big show in New York, right? Or it's a show in New York. Time will tell whether it's a big show or not.
Well, that's just it. On paper, with everybody that's showing up, it certainly looks like a big show. I've kind of talked about what I know about it on my podcast a little bit, but I don't think we've discussed it here at all. Basically, the guy that runs it, Johnny, seems like a bit of a Renaissance man. He has a lot of companies and he runs a lot of different expos in different industries, like hot sauce and tacos and all stuff. But he's also like a super gear nerd. And he was like, how come I don't take, what I know about this, running expos and put together a gear expo? Cause that would be really cool. And so he did. That's basically what happened in a nutshell anyway.
Yeah, it sounds cool.
I met him here in Portland, and he kind of got me all hyped up on it. And it was like, yeah, I'm going, I've always wanted to go to New York City. Let's do it. And so. And I got excited because I seen Wampler was on the bill, but then I found out Brian was like,
unfortunately, Brian has some fathering duties to do over the next few weeks that have to come first.
Yeah, that stuff tends to do that. Tends to slide in to first place rather easily.
Yep. I mean, I saw on Facebook today that, this time a few years ago, we were on the way to the LA Amp Show. In Van Nuys, California.
Does that go on right now? Like,
well,
around this
time?
Well,
I don't know if it is, but it did in 2015.
Okay.
So, I don't know. But, normally I like to go to Key West quite a bit about this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
When it starts cooling down a little bit. I don't think that's going to happen this year because the Keys are pretty tore up.
Yeah, they're kind of a mess.
Yep. And anyways, even if they weren't, I probably couldn't anyways with everything going on. So I'm going to start a new pedal company.
Oh, because you don't have anything else going on. So, hey, I can't go to Key West. I'm going to start a new pedal company. Why not?
I'm going to call it Arrogance Audio. Arrogance Audio.
Yeah. Arrogance Audio. Okay. I like it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All NOS, everything.
I'm going to be the Chris Gaines to Garth Brooks, you know what I mean? So
yes,
it's going to be my opposite identity. So I'm going to be the rudest, loudest, most arrogant cocky, self-promoting person on earth.
I love it. You're going to go into every gear group and not really provide any content.
Exactly.
You're just going to go in there and be like, here's my stuff. Yep, here's my stuff. Look at it.
Buy my pedal. Buy it. Buy it now. Buy it.
It's the best.
It's the best. Everything else sucks. Everything sucks. Yeah.
And if you really want to do it up, you got to like, if you're going to go like full Chris Gaines, you should, because you don't look anything like Chris Gaines, you should like do the hair and the guy liner and the whole bit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's got to be a whole different shtick to it, you know. So that's my plan.
Okay. What kind of pedals are you going to come out with? Like all synth based?
Pretty much just boosters, you know? And just boosters, but I'm going to call them different things. Like, so they'll be called like delays and phasers and univibes and wahs, but they're just going to be boosters. And when someone complains, I'm going to tell that person how stupid they are.
Like, they just don't know how to work it. That's the problem.
Yes. The problem is that you aren't bright enough to work this pedal. That's why you can't get the delay out of the booster.
Yep. It's well, if you weren't an idiot, you could figure it out. Buy some more Arrogance Audio stuff.
Right. Exactly. So that's my plan. I'm gonna try that out. Because I hear from all the gurus that you got to try stuff and fail or not fail to see if it works. I don't think anybody's done this so far.
Oh yeah, not exactly to the T, but there are those that have used similar marketing methods. Maybe they claim to have invented something that's been around for a really long time and just put it out there. Just saying. Not speaking of anyone in particular that we've talked about before, but hey, some people, quote unquote, invent things that already exist and are commonplace and have been in thousands and thousands of units.
I do recall that. Yeah, I do recall something, a similar situation such as that. Yeah, so I got to take it a step higher then.
Okay, all right. You're going to have to, like, claim... Like,
rather than just email negative responses back, I have to do, like, video responses to each person, right? Where, I'm just, like, I'm a totally different person. I'm being the rudest, most obnoxious person you could think of.
I think that's a good idea.
That's my marketing angle with Arrogance Audio.
Well, I tell you this much. You would definitely carve out a small market segment.
Hey, you know what they say? There's riches in the niches.
That's what
they say.
They do say that quite often.
I'm going to niche down hard on this. Yep.
I'm trying to picture the avatar that would genuinely be interested in working with a company like that. And I think that he probably doesn't really exist. I think you might have niched too hard.
Hey, you have to fail to succeed, and you have to succeed to fail. And Rome wasn't built in a day, and other various topics like that.
Good point. I don't know how to respond to this. If you were paying me, Brian, I know we're all joking aside. Like, if you were paying me to advise you, I would say that's a great idea. No, I wouldn't.
I know it is because I thought of it. That's how I know, because I'm that good, you know. And you're that bad. So I'm practicing.
You're practicing right now. You're not going to be Brian Wampler, though. Who are you going to be?
No. I'm not going to. I don't know my name yet because, like, you know, if Garth Brooks has this Chris Gaines, then I've got to be, like, Smith Jane or something. I don't know. I mean, I've got to be something.
I'm working
else.
On this. I think the name will be Oakland Hillsbury.
Oakland, I like it. Hillsbury.
Yeah, you're Oakland Hillsbury, and you started Arrogance Audio. You're gonna have jet black hair, but like But like, you know, the type that's like it's kind of thinning, but you're really trying hard, but you're not trying too hard because you're rock and roll, you know, but it's clearly dyed jet black. It's not naturally that way. You're going to have to get a few more lines in your face from decades of hard living and really knowing about that rock and roll lifestyle, you know?
Well, see, one of my daughters actually does like makeup like that for, you know, like TV show type makeup, like making zombies and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I think that she's got the natural gifts and talents to actually age me even mm-hmm. more, you know? And, you know, but of course, all things going on with my teenagers, then I may not need that makeup here.
Well, that's true. That's true. You'll be looking like Alice Cooper in no time.
Exactly. You know, I remember whenever I first had kids, I thought, you know, once they get to be like teenagers, older teenagers, it's got to be easier from there. It's got to.
Oh, really? You thought that?
Yeah. I did. Yeah.
I don't have teenagers, and I know that that's going to be like the hardest time. Like, I remember myself as a teenager, and I'm like, oh my gosh, my poor parents. I'm so sorry. Why was I such a horrible person?
Yeah, see, so, I was a perfect angel when I was a teenager.
I'm sure you were, you skateboarding, punk rocking thing, you.
Oh,
we were similar teenagers, and I know that I was not easy, and I'm sorry. Dad's probably listening right now. Sorry, Dad.
Your mom's nodding her head in agreement. Yes, he was a pain.
Yeah, you were really a challenge, and look, you still didn't turn out that good. We tried.
Okay, so I, Oakland,
mm-hmm.
And you know, that, so I've kind of laid out my business plan here with you.
Yeah, Oakland Hillsbury, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Oakland Hillsbury, yep. And
you're going to need to adopt an accent for this as well.
Yeah, I know. I wonder what kind of accent I'd have. Well, there's only a few I can do, and they tend to be...
Fake British.
British? A fake British. Oh, I can do a great, bad fake British.
That's what you need. You don't want it to be a good one. You want Jason to be so offended right now.
It's a cross between Australian and Mary Poppins type British.
Lay it on me. Lay it on me.
Hello, mate. Hello, right, so here's what we got here, right? So like, I've got this pedal, and this pedal, like, does things, and it, like, makes this sound, right? Right.
I'm Oakland Hillsbury.
Yeah. I'm Oakland Hillsbury.
That's pretty
and
bad.
If you can't figure it out, then you're not a wanker. Right.
Yeah, yep. There you go.
Got it. I got it.
All right, we got that sound bite out on the internet now. Everyone can do with that what they must. Did we have anything to talk about for real? I know we both have been listening to way too much Joe Rogan, and so that's why this is rubbing off on us.
Yes, it is true. It is true. I love me some Joseph Rogan.
Mm-hmm.
But, I did have something that I was looking through this morning on the Wampler Pedals Tone Group.
Tell me more.
By the way, this podcast is sponsored by Wampler Pedals Tone Group. Wampler Pedals. Get your pedal at Wampler Pedals. Anyways, so it was on the Tone Group.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a question that I actually made a video about this a few weeks ago. And it's basically someone wanting advice on settings on a delay pedal on this particular topic. But I see the topic come up a lot. And
right.
So it's very hard when someone says, like, here's my delay pedal, for example, just because I'm looking at the post.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my delay pedal. What are some example settings?
Yeah,
it's like, well, what do you want it to sound like? You know, I'd be like, do you want a long echo with not a lot of volume, or do you want a short slap back with more volume? Or, I mean, do you want more repeats or less? I mean, but by asking those questions, you're kind of answering your own question, you know?
So, yeah. I am remembering, though, like, when I first, you know, even way back to, like, you know, playing with a Line 6 amp for the first time, you know, like, way back, right. You know, when those were first coming out. They, you know, everybody came out with suggested settings. Like, that was just what companies did. Like, are mm-hmm. you trying to be, you know, play metal? Here's the metal setting. Set all your knobs like this. And are you trying to play whatever? Set all your knobs this way and turn it to this. And it's like, and I found pretty early on that, like, when I would do what they said, it wouldn't necessarily turn out what I was looking for. And so that's probably the start of my knob tweaking. Was like, well, this is the metal setting, but this is sounds terrible because, well, they probably set it with a Strat and I'm playing a Les Paul. Who knows why it didn't work?
Right.
But I found like that I wish that nobody had ever came out with suggested settings because right. it makes people think that there's an answer when it's, as we've said before, the whole gear, your whole unit is a system. And just because this is the rockabilly setting for this delay with my rig doesn't mean it's going to be the rockabilly setting for your rig. Like it could be something completely different.
It reminds me of like a book or something on how to write a song. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So I mean, like maybe there are some general guidelines, but I don't think I mean you don't want to make every song, you know, like verse, chorus, verse, chorus, bridge, out. You know, I mean that would be boring.
Yeah, it would be like
that'd be the country music industry, the pop industry of today.
Yeah, like oh, those sounds really familiar to what I'm hearing on the radio right now. But yeah,
I get it, but I think that by companies of old, from the past, putting those settings in there, I think we have taught consumers to reach out for that stuff, you know, which mm-hmm. isn't always bad. I mean, especially if you have one of the more complicated Strymans or something. Sometimes you need some suggested settings because there's so many things you can do.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
But I'm not a big fan of the, classic 80s rock sound. Even though some people ask us for that, and so therefore we've put that stuff out there before.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'd rather say if you want a longer echo, turn this knob up. You want less repeats, turn this knob down, that mm-hmm. sort of thing. And move some knobs around until you find something you like,
Well,
or alternatively, post a link here to a sound that you like. Maybe we can help you figure out how to set up the delay to sound like that,
Yeah, or at least as close as we can get, basically.
Right.
This points me back to I've brought this up before because I thought it was really fascinating. I'm 99% sure it was Philippe with Caroline who did this, who mentioned this like years ago somewhere on the interwebs. And if it wasn't you, Philippe, I'm sorry, but I'm pretty sure it was. Their pedals have they don't have labels.
Right.
They have symbols.
Little icons, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. And they're cool looking, but they don't mean a whole lot if you don't know what they're supposed to be. And if you look in the manual, you figure it out. But if I'm remembering the conversation correctly, he put out, when they were testing them, two different versions, one with labels and one with symbols, and had people try both of them. And obviously the one with symbols leads you to more knob tweaking and whatever, because you don't know exactly what it's doing. The people who got the one with symbols, like they were like, oh, this one sounds way better than the other one, when they were identical. Experimenting can lead to other things. And this was not, they didn't put it out as a product or anything. This was during the testing phase to figure out which way they wanted to go.
So were these the same people they sent it to?
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure. I hope I'm not butchering this story. I remember reading this like 2 years ago. So I hope I'm not making things up. I could have dreamt this, I guess. But
maybe you just leaked an entire trade secret. Philippe was trying to not let the cow out of the bag. Maybe
I don't
you messed
think
the
so.
Whole thing up.
I don't think so. Like in my head, it was in the 60 Cycle Hum Facebook group. But I hope I didn't just tell everybody something that wasn't supposed to be. Philippe, I'm sorry. If I wasn't supposed to tell anybody that, then
it's out there now. We can't do anything about it. It's already out there.
I don't see how that's a bad thing. If I wasn't supposed to say that, I'm really sorry.
No, I honestly could see how it would work that way because, and it's not even a conscious thing, I don't think, but I probably would look at it differently if I didn't know what the volume was, what the tone, where the volume was, I don't know what pedal exactly we're talking about, delay time, delay volume, repeats, like all that stuff. If it was completely unmarked, then that would make me want to tweak more. In fact, whenever we do prototypes, when I get them, because I have another guy that actually builds them, mm-hmm. and they're not marked. You know, right. So all it's, you know, it's just it either be like the finished circuit board with everything on it, or it'll be like in an enclosure that's just plain, not painted, nothing. Mm-hmm. And I always like to plug it in first and just start turning things to see, like, what would I call this? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's not like I design something and then 2 weeks later that I get the prototype. It's a much bigger, longer process. So, you know, I may have designed something 3 or 4 months ago, and I may just be getting a prototype now. Just because there's so many things going on. And, you know, and in between then and now, I've already put out, you know, not put out, but as far as, like, designed 3 or 4 different things. So my mind's in a totally different place. I forget what the labels were supposed to be, all that stuff. Anyway, so I'll start at that point without anything labeled, just to really kind of get a feel for, you know, kind of a consumer level. Like, when I turn this, what does it do to my ears without knowing anything? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's surprising. Because I'll ask Jake, you know, send me the layout for this so I can see what the labeling is. And then sometimes I'm like, oh, huh. Yeah, I don't think I would have described it that way. I would have described it as this type of control.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this is more common than what some people realize, because when I get stuff in to test, I try to, if I have any say in the matter, I try to get it, like, not labeled. I want to know I want to know roughly what the effect is supposed to be, and if it's extra complicated, I might need some guidance there, but same thing. Blank enclosure, start tweaking, let's hear what it sounds like, you know, what's this doing, you know. Sometimes I'm hunting for bugs, sometimes it's other things, but it's really fun, I think. I don't know. I think knob tweaking is really fun, so I'm surprised that so many people want to, like, give me setting.
Well, I mean, there's different types of consumer behavior, really. I mean, there's those who, like you said, just want to plug it in and start turning things and find cool sounds. But there's also the person that they know they want a delay sound, for example,
mm-hmm.
and they just tell me 3 different ways to set it up, and I'm always going to use those settings, you know.
Hey,
that's what I see.
That makes sense. I mean, whatever works, I guess. And also, most everyone does this, but, like, especially guys who are wanting more guidance, they probably bought it with an idea in mind. Maybe they heard a demo. Maybe the salesperson told them, you know, like, they're like, I want to sound like Steve Vai. Here's the pedal for you. Okay, where's the Steve Vai setting? You know, like.
I get that a lot with the Paisley Drive stuff. A lot.
I'm not surprised.
You know, which, how do I set it? That's the biggest question. How mm-hmm. do I set this up to sound like Brad Paisley? And I'm like, well, first you need a Crick Telly, and then you need a Dr. Z. And some boxes, and about you need about 10 amps, really.
I was going to say,
really,
you need this, a lot of Dr.
To really
Z's
pull this
of
off, you need about 10 different amps, and you're going to have them cranked, you're going to turn the pedal on just a little bit, and then you need to practice for about 15 years. Do nothing but listen to every Brad Paisley lick and learn every nuance.
Isn't there something, doesn't he have, like, vintage tape echoes in there and stuff too, like all kinds of, he's got quite the rig.
His touring rig is always changing, so he's got a bunch of stuff. Like right now, as of this date, he's got several ethereals in there. He's got a bunch of prototypes we build him. I don't have any pictures nearby, but I mean, there's really just all kinds of stuff. There's just, they have drawers and drawers full of stuff. So Brad may say, you know, let's try the Aquapus tonight, you know, mm-hmm. and they'll sub something out and throw the Aquapus in one of the places. So, I mean, it really just depends what he wants. In the studio, I mean, there's all kinds of gear, just tons and tons and tons of basically anything he'd want.
Oh, studio work is so fun in that regard.
Yeah. Especially if you got the money to buy whatever you want. Just, you know?
Or, like, if you go to, like, I mean, have you ever, like, I don't know how, like, heavy into recording you are. I'm not, I really like it, but I'm not as big of a geek on it as other things. But I watch this clip every once in a while of just a quick walkthrough of, like, Blackbird Studios. I think it's out there in Tennessee. And my jaw is just on the floor. Like, with the amount of gear they just have available, not necessarily just guitar stuff, but they just have, like, here's a $20,000 microphone, just chilling.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, yeah. I'm like, okay, you have five of them. Like, in a whole
Blackbird's
room
a pretty
of
big,
microphones.
Pretty, Blackbird's a pretty important studio. It's well known. Everybody and their brothers recorded there. You know, so, I mean, it's not the type of studio that's going to be like, well, we've got these MXL ribbons for you to use. I mean, they probably have those too.
I was
going to
say,
they probably do. Yeah, but I mean, it's not like me in some little home studio where I'm like, I've got a 57 and this MXL ribbon. Which one do you want?
Yeah.
You know?
When we got a 58, couple 58s knocking around.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little more, a little different there. Plus, not only that, next to Blackbird, there's also a shop, and the name is escaping me right now, but there's a shop that they can literally just go borrow stuff from.
Like a guitar shop?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Man. Yep. That's so cool.
Yeah, so, and you know, and there's cartage places, so you can rent anything you want, really. Like, I think we need a Dumble for this session. You know,
yeah. What we really need is a Dumble, and I think we need a 59 Les Paul. Can we get one of those? Oh yeah. Man, the gear nerdery is strong right now. That would be an amazing experience. And therefore, that's why that studio cost $4 billion or whatever it costs. I don't know. I'm making numbers up.
No, yeah, it's a great studio. I mean, it's obviously, you know, well-known in Nashville. I've never had the opportunity to record there because I don't really play music for a living. But I would like to, you know. I'd be open to it. If you happen to be a producer there, let me know.
If they gave you the opportunity, you would consider it.
I would consider it, yeah. So, you know, if the producer said, you know what we need? We need someone that can, like, hack his way, like, do some really bad versions of some Brent Mason licks. Mm-hmm. And maybe hit some wrong notes 30% of the time. If we can get that guy, I think that's going to make this song. Now, if you ever need that guy, I'm just letting you know, I'll work pretty cheap, you know? So,
pretty cheap? Yeah, I was going to say I could take that job, but then you said 30% of the time you hit wrong notes, and I'm usually more around 45. So, going to have to give you that job.
I haven't done the math on it, you know. I'm just throwing an arbitrary number out there right now.
Oh, I did the calculation. I'm 45% wrong notes at all times. So, take that for what it's worth. I put lots of delay on it, though, so no one can tell.
There you go.
Yeah.
Harmonizer. I'm basically just harmonizing all 12 notes. That way I'm hitting every note at once, and therefore I'm never wrong.
Hashtag no bad notes. No bad notes.
So, yeah. Yeah, yeah. But anyways, suggested settings. Yeah, that's like that question. I get that so often, like literally so often.
I wonder if everyone does.
Multiple times.
I think based on, you know, your lineup, a lot of it being, you know, amp in the box type things and trying to recreate specific things. Mm-hmm. I wonder if you get that more than some guys who just have, you know, here's our crazy synth or whatever, you know, something that's not like trying to emulate the sound of something else. I wonder if you get that more because of that.
I don't know. I should ask Jamie from Earthquaker about that, because we're polar opposites as far as the industry goes, right?
Exactly.
But I wonder if people are, you know, emailing him like, hey, I'm looking for a great, you know, Stevie Ray Vaughan sound from this Data Corruptor.
Right. What? I plugged this in, and all it did was corrupt my data. I don't know what to do. It doesn't sound anything like. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't know if you know Anthony Stauffer, who's he used to do this thing called Stevie Snacks, I think, and now he does what is it? Oh my gosh, I got shirts and everything. Texas Blues Alley.
Okay? Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he's a guitar teacher, and he was telling me like the question he gets multiple times every day is basically, how do I set my Tube Screamer up to sound like Stevie Ray Vaughan? You know, and he just, I think maybe, I'm sure, I guess the reason why I say that is I'm sure that Jamie has his own, like,
version of that
of questions. Yeah. So I don't know what that would be, but surely he's got something, you know?
It makes sense. I'm sure everybody has common questions that they answer all the time. Like that just is the nature of being in any business, you know? Mm-hmm. I find myself telling, you know, clients similar things all the time. Like, I have speeches prepared for certain questions. It's kind of, right. I never imagined that would be the case, but it's like, all right, I'm going to say this exact same thing that I just said 2 hours ago. And it's fine. I think that's just the nature of business, I guess. When you're in any business, there's going to be commonalities in the questions that customers have. So,
right. Right.
That's my theory anyway. I don't know what that's worth, but it's a theory.
Well, it's worth about $1.50.
PayPal gift, please. Gotta avoid them fees.
Oh, my goodness. So there's another question that I saw in the Wampler Tone group this morning as well.
Oh, okay.
I was trying to find it again. Golly, where did it go? Where did it go? Oh, there it is. Okay. So... it's from a guy named Jason Parker. And he says, what do you do with your golden time alone with your guitar, amps, and pedals?
Oh, I do that a lot.
Yeah. So, and I do too. I'm curious to hear, because we're such different players, I'm curious to hear how yours is different than mine.
So what I do, if I'm not trying out something new, right, like, and trying to find bugs and stuff like we were talking about earlier, I have, you know, an hour to play. I usually go to the cabinet and I pull out five or six different things and I arrange them and I create a new rig, essentially, at least with the pedals. I'll usually play the same couple amps, but I'll set something up in a way that I've never set it up before, or at least in a way that I haven't set up in a long time. And see what kind of sounds I can squeeze out of it.
You're looking for different sounds then.
Yeah, I'm always trying to find new sounds, like sounds I haven't made before or heard before. And I think with a variety of effects we have these days, I think it's very possible for average Joe to create something that's never been put into the airwaves before.
Right.
And I have a lot of fun kind of chasing those sounds, and sometimes I'll stumble on one that makes me want to create a riff around it, or you know, try to write a song around it, or something. But like, just kind of searching for new sounds is really fun to me. So I'll run things in all kinds of non-traditional ways, like, you know, fuzz into reverb into phaser, you know, like, who knows? Like, it could be crazy. Or one amp's totally clean and one's got dirt and flanger on it, and it's just like, that's basically what I do. And that's part of the reason why up until recently, I didn't ever have like a solid pedal board set up, because I would just take it down and tear it up every time. It would be different every night almost.
Right. So here's where it gets weird, right? Because I have these, I do two different things. Mm-hmm. The traditionalist side of me is, it's good. Well, basically, I'm going to plug into the amp that I'm filling at the moment. So, for example, this week it's been my Vox AC15.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll just crank it up, maybe play a couple bar chords, get the swinging arm going, you know, Pete Townsend thing, you know, put my high top tennis shoes on top of an amp and, you know, let my mullet flow as I headbang.
Of course.
You know, so sometimes I do that. And then you have the Oakland Hillsbury portion of me. And what that guy likes to do, and this is true, what that guy likes to do is pop open Logic Pro X.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe find, sometimes I'll find some different plugins that someone's made, you know, because people are always uploading plugins.
Mm-hmm.
And just try some different stuff. Let the monitors fly and let the chips fall where they fall, you know.
And plugin based, though, a lot of the time.
Totally plugin based, yeah. Direct in, using the two notes. Where my speaker, I think my impulse responses are either from Celestion or another place that I forget the name of.
Right.
Yeah. That's terrible. That's a terrible description. What's it called? Anyways.
I don't know any of that stuff, so I don't know.
I'll have to post that in the notes for this podcast because I forget what the name of the website is, but they're great sounding.
I know that problem. I do that all the time.
I guess the problem, what I'm really getting at is that that's a whole different type of thing. So, like, there's a lot of things I'll do there that involves running plug-in and into plug-in or in parallel with, like, buses and all that stuff because you can do so much more on the DSP side, you know, with plug-ins than you are ever going to do with, like, this little pedal, honestly.
Yeah, so, it makes sense.
So, that's what the Oakland Hillsbury side of me does.
Interesting.
So I'm kind of coming at it from two different places. That's why I think this Arrogance Audio thing is really going to take off because, you know, it's the polar opposite of me.
I feel like there's a backstory to Arrogance Audio that I'm not hip to. Like, so you're doing a parody of somebody, and I don't know who it actually is.
Oh, no. I'm being serious.
Well, you're not being serious.
I'm being serious, yeah.
But not really.
Hey, my mom told me that nice guys finish last. I'm wanting to be first for once.
Well, you know? You're going to have to talk to Mike Matthews about that.
That's true. Mike is, he's pretty far ahead of the rest of us.
That's what I'm thinking. He's like a whole nother ball game. I want to backtrack a little bit. That episode that you did where you talked to everybody, I'm assuming that was at NAMM or some other sort of event like that?
Yes, that was. Yeah, we did make a podcast out of that, didn't we?
It was awesome. I loved it.
It was, yeah, there was so many. There's actually a ton more content. I may do another one because we asked each person, I think it was 5 or 6 questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing that really sucked is that we also asked Jamie from Earthquaker, and I sent him a message. I'm like, dude, I'm so sorry. But the guy that was doing the filming forgot to turn the microphone on.
Oh, so he's just standing there filming, and there's no sound.
Yeah, so I got all the video footage and no sound.
Oh, I hate that. I hate those kind of problems. They happen to everybody. They're the worst.
But I'm like, oh, man. You know? Why couldn't you have done this to the Tone Mob guy? You know?
Yeah, exactly. That guy talks on the internet all the time. No one needs to hear more stuff from him.
I'm quite offended
that you didn't interview me for that, being an esteemed person in the industry.
Well, you were everywhere. I couldn't find you.
No.
Actually, another problem we had, and I didn't notice this until I was reviewing the footage. Apparently, there was a short in the microphone cable.
Oh, no. And really?
So sometimes someone would move the mic a little bit, and it would cut out for a second. And so some of the questions you can't even hear what they're saying because it's breaking up so much. So lesson learned. I actually threw that together like the day before NAMM was going to start. I thought, you know, it'd be cool. Like, I should have a guy's name's Nevin that was doing the video for me. I said, I should have Nevin come out here and just shoot some video of, you know, some interviews with some guys in the industry.
For sure.
You know, just some basic questions that, you know, I don't know. I'm curious to know the answer to.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, and it's really interesting on how different everything, you know, like the different perspectives of all these different people, you know?
For sure.
So
for sure.
And I did get a lot of people, at least on YouTube, that asked how come I didn't do any of the answering. This is kind of embarrassing, but we forgot. We were going to do it the last day, and I was just so busy, and I just forgot.
Well, I mean, to be perfectly honest, as a listener, I don't know. Like, sometimes having a mix-up like that, you know, is kind of nice. Like, you did the intros and you did the thing, and it's like getting different perspectives. Like, they hear, you know, your perspective and my perspective, like, all the time.
Yeah, so, like, I actually think it worked out for the better. Yeah,
I do too. I think having some new fresh ideas in there was actually kind of refreshing. For, you know, right. I liked it. I mean, you know, Tim Ferriss kind of does some of that stuff once in a while. Well, he'll have past guests come on, and he basically introduces the segment and talks a little bit, and then lets them fill in the gaps. And that was very similar. And I really liked listening to it. I really did.
Well, you're welcome. I did that just for you.
Thank you. Well, you kind of did, because we've been trying to record for 3 weeks and various things get in the way, and we have to. It's like we have lives. It's weird.
I know. Yeah, it's good. I'm telling you, starting this other business, man, it's taking its toll.
It's going to be a groundbreaker for sure.
There's riches in the niches, baby.
Oh,
riches
boy.
Riches in the niches.
I think you're going to just get fabulously wealthy on it, and you should put all of your effort into it.
I'm guessing I'm going to make tens, if not hundreds of dollars on this venture.
I mean, the sky's the limit, really. I don't want to fill you with limiting beliefs. I think you could make billions, billions and billions of dollars. I don't want to put a damper on your dreams.
Well, I appreciate that,
Mr. Oakland Hillsbury. How many characters have we created on the show, or like from since Chasing Tone's been a thing? How many characters have been introduced? We got Roy for sure, which was probably the earliest.
Oh yeah, Roy's Western Smithin something or other.
Westerhausen Smithin, yeah. Yeah. We got Leslie was introduced, but that we didn't really create.
Oh, that's right.
Some random yeah, YouTube person created that was Leslie.
A YouTuber that created Leslie Wampler, the real owner. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now we got Oakland. Is it just three?
Yeah.
It feels like there's more.
There was a nerdy guy. I forget the Spencer or something like that.
We got the troll. Oh, what's his name? We didn't name him though. I think Joshua named him.
I forget what it was. Yes, it was the troll guy.
So we got at least four characters.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, I'm literally just pulling these out of my butt. So.
Oh, and then we got Luke Bryan, which is sort of a character. Not that we made him up, but it's a character nonetheless.
Well, it's kind of a cross between Luke Bryan and Kermit the Frog.
Yeah. So it's like it's a mutant. So it's sort of a creation. I suppose.
Right. Yeah. I had to stop the Luke Bryan stuff.
I know.
Yeah. No, I didn't have to. It was more out of respect, man. You know, I'm a gigantic fan, actually. Well, anyways, but yeah, we already went through why. So, and if you missed that episode, it's about five back.
Yes. So,
new guitar player's buddy of mine. And I said, Jason, I won't do that to you out of respect for my friendship with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And he said, Brian, Luke doesn't even care. He doesn't even know who you are. And I said, yeah, but he may one day, you know.
You may need to. Yeah. Never mind.
I don't want this to affect his record sales. You know.
So. I'm trying to hold my tongue. Out of respect for Jason, although I don't know who Jason is, but I know he's a better guitar player than me. So
yeah, it's not Jason Wilding and Wampler. It's a different Jason.
But, oh no, I wouldn't hold my tongue for Jason. For that Jason. Because he wouldn't do that for me. He would give me the what for.
All right, so let's put a big bow on this thing. So first of all, we figured out that the newest guitar pedal company that's going to take the world by storm, Arrogance Audio, is coming out soon. You probably don't want to contact them because they'll just ridicule you.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about, we kind of went back over again on setting pedals up. And how it's very hard to really tell someone how to set a pedal.
It is.
You know, even with the manual or whatever. And we've also learned that Brian does a very bad English accent.
Yes. Yes. And we were going to continue with more on that later.
All right. So it's been great talking to you, Blake.
It's been a good one. We'll get this muscle re-exercised, and we'll have some more hot topics coming at you later.
All right, cool, man.
All right, bye.
So thanks so much for listening to the Chasing Tone podcast. I really appreciate it. If you have any comments or questions, you can always email me at podcast@wapplerpedals.com. If you have any questions for the show, that's the place to email us as well. Make sure if you're on Facebook and you like talking about guitar-related stuff, make sure you check out the Wampler Pedals Tone Group. That's where we're all at. That's where you can interact with me and ask me questions on there as well. And just talk to 10,000 other people who love talking about guitar tone. So that there's a ton of information on there that you might like or might help you, you know, in your chase for tone, so to speak. And also, I wanted to make sure everyone knows, we have some new shirts out on Amazon. So if you search for Wampler Pedals shirt, should come up in the search results on Amazon. So make sure you check that out as well. Several different colors, all different sizes, even kid sizes. Yes, for your kids. And yeah, hope you guys dig that stuff. So thanks for listening. I really appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.